Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is relevant to everything that we need to do and to learn and to understand, and that it teaches us not only how to be righteous, that is, to receive salvation, but how to live and how to walk day by day. Father, we ask that you would open your word to us this evening, that our eyes would behold wonderful things out of your law. And Father, we do ask that your name would be praised through this time of worshiping you around your word. And Father, may we go out rejoicing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This evening's message sort of follows on from this morning's, not because we're back in Nehemiah, but because we are discussing a topic out of Matthew chapter 22. So if you'll turn there with me, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, we'll begin reading in verse 34 and read to verse 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We have here Jesus answering a tough question. He was asked this tough question by a lawyer. This is still the way it is today. Lawyers are trained to ask tough questions. In fact, they make even simple questions tough because they word them in such a way. And here, this lawyer is no exception. He wants to trip Jesus up. And so he asks, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, if I was to ask any one of you, what is a commandment, one of the commandments in the Bible, most of us would come up with one of the Ten Commandments, probably, because I don't know about you, but when I was little, I learned the Ten Commandments a number of times, and I've forgotten them a number of times, but they've been repeated over and over again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart is a summary of that, but there are so many different commandments in the Ten Commandments. And so here, Jesus is being asked a question that no one at the time could answer. They were debating this over and over again. Which commandment was of more importance? You know, was it more important to not be a murderer? Or was it more important to honor your parents? Or was it more important to not be an adulterer? Or anyone, take your pick. That was the kind of debates that they would have. And a lot of them made hierarchies and lists. Sometimes based on the order, sometimes based on the impact it would have on other people. They delighted in making these kinds of lists. And here, the lawyer is expecting Jesus to grab one of those commandments and make it the greatest. And then he would get a good discussion going. Well, actually, probably more of a discussion. He was going to destroy Jesus' efforts. That's what he thought. But Jesus' answer is that the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. Loving God is the first commandment. The first commandment, loving God. We might take that for granted. We might say, oh, well, I listen to what God said. I obey him. But then we have to ask ourselves, do we actually love God? What does it mean to love God? You know, you see me and my children, and you know that I love them, that I care for them. Or you see me and my wife, and you say, yes, there is some sort of relationship there. No, okay, I love my wife. Hopefully that's obvious. You might be able to see those relationships. But how do you see a relationship with God? In what way is that relationship visible? How can it be manifested or shown? What is it that is essential to a love with God? We could here just stop and go through all of the normal things that you talk about in relationships. You say, well, if you don't spend time with somebody, you don't love them. So it's not only a way to fall more in love with someone, but it's also a way to show that you're in love with someone. Love and spending time together is connected. They're linked. You might say, well, serving or helping or doing some action to benefit the other one, that might be how you show love towards God. We already know that God has shown love towards us, so we can ignore that side of the equation at the moment. But how do we show, how do we manifest, how do we work out love towards God? There are a few interesting words in this phrasing that Jesus does. First, he makes this very personal. He points to the lawyer and he puts his finger right in his face and says, thou. This is what you have to do. This is not just a good thing to think about. This is not something that our religion says or it's in the book somewhere. No, this is something that is specific to us. We must love the Lord. But notice also it says, thy God. God needs to be ours in order for this love to work. There can't be any other gods before God. I know now we're going back to the Ten Commandments, aren't we? That's why this is a summary of it. Because if we have anything in our hearts that we care about more than God, those things or those people have become God in our lives and not God himself. I think we're getting a picture then what love towards God looks like. It looks like a heart that is focused on God, one that prefers what God wants more than what we want. Now let's focus on the last section of this verse, verse 37. And we have three phrases: with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We're not going to delve into what each one of those are, but I want us to see that this is very all-encompassing. This is our entire being. The only things missed out are our physical body, but if our heart and our soul and our mind are focused on serving God, then our body is following. Okay, if my mind is thinking, you know, I'd really like some macros right now, I can bet you the car might just sort of steer that way, right? If our mind is going one way, then our body will probably follow. And now everybody knows I like McDonald's. I don't think that was a secret. This is our entire being. But it's not just our entire being. It sort of is all of our time and effort as well. This is not loving God through our half-hour devotions and our 10 minutes of prayer time and our Wednesday night prayer meeting and our Sunday morning, and the rest of the time is empty of God. No, this is all-encompassing. This is, if you see me, I am serving God in my heart. I am loving him right now. Again, this is a challenge. Just so you know, this is not, John has reached perfection here, I got it. No. This is God preaching at me tonight as well as to you. This is all-encompassing. It's our whole being and it's all of our time. But it is also all of our efforts. I don't know how much multitasking you might do. Apparently it's a thing that women can do better than guys. I'm not sure if that's been proven yet or not. But it is a thing where all of us, to some extent or other, are going 100 directions in this day and age. We always have something that's dragging our attention away. If we are serving God with all our mind and all our soul, we've got to, at least sometimes, completely focus on Him. I would suggest God is asking us to love Him fully, but at least for some time, we need to put all else out. We need to stop considering our own desires and wants and wishes. Stop considering what the time is. Instead, be focused on Him. This is the first and great commandment. It is impossible to keep. Just so you know, the law condemns us. It condemns each one of us. The second part of this answer that Jesus gives is something that Jesus comes back to over and over and over again, where He does say that your relationship to God matters, but He often points to how our relationship with one another is going as an indicator of how our relationship between us and God is going. And so the second commandment in verse 39 and 40, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is a very much shorter command. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it seems on its surface to be fairly simple. I have heard recently a number of people twisting this and saying that they need to love themselves before they will be able to love others. They need to have self-esteem built up in themselves before they can help others. We have here the exact opposite. We need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. There's no one here who hates themselves. If given the option between sitting in a comfortable seat or sitting on a hard, uncomfortable seat, which one will you choose? If you are given the option of eating something that you enjoy, your favorite food, whatever it is, or you're given the option of eating everyone's least favorite food, and everyone's wondering, what's he going to say? I don't know, but if it's my son Thomas, it's a vegetable. Some food that nobody likes. Which are you going to choose? You're going to choose the one that pleases you the most. You're going to take care of yourself. This really is a difficult command to keep. Think of that. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. What would you do to get the things that you want or that you think you need? How much effort would you go to provide for yourself the comfort that you think you deserve? Well, I think all of us here can answer that. We go to work 5 days a week, or whatever it is that you work. You work hard to provide for your needs to be met, to reach that level of comfort. You put in effort and time. Do we love anyone else that much? That's a hard one. Loving someone else as much as we love ourselves. But notice it doesn't just say as much as, it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is to prefer them and their needs and desires as equal with your own. This is an impossible commandment. We're going to say that. This is an impossible commandment. It is one that none of us will ever be able to fully keep. But it should be our aim. It should be our aim. How do you love a neighbor? Your neighbor, that is just someone who is close to you. Someone who has a similar amount of personhood, that is, they are people just like you. You have some insight into what they need, want, or desire because they, like you, are people. It doesn't matter if they are living next to you and their house is bigger or if their house is shabbier. You're commanded to love them. It doesn't matter if you have all of your life in order and they are plagued with drugs and alcohol. You're supposed to love them, doing what is good for them, doing things to help them. That's not going to be easy. How often do we look at someone who is down and out, someone who is without means, and we say, yeah, but they've made decisions. They've put themselves there. Instead of having compassion over the state that they are in and feeling their cold, understanding that they might be hungry, or if they have food, it is not pleasant food. They've only got the most basic. And our hearts should move in love towards them. And yet, we often let the differences keep us apart. Maybe someone has a different language, and we let that completely block off any ability to have any sort of contact. We say, well, I don't speak the language, and they don't speak my language, and separate. We'll be separate. No, your heart should be moved with love towards them to meet their needs. Jesus doesn't say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself as long as it's convenient. You should do it as often as the preacher preaches about it. No, you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I eat every day. And I don't, there's no day I miss. That's not the only way I love myself, by the way, okay? It just happens to be something that's common for everyone. Everyone eats, most everyone. And everyone enjoys eating, generally. And your neighbor is in the same boat. And you're supposed to care for them every day. Loving our neighbor is not just a lack of hatred towards them. How many times do we say, oh, but I put up with so much. My neighbor's vines come over the fence and I have to trim them. Or they let the fence fall down. Or that person cut me off on the road as I was trying to pull out. Ah, no. It's not just a lack of hatred. Love means to be considerate of them. To want their best. This is hard. Here's one that's a little bit difficult. What do you think about people of a different religion? Do you have a neighbor who is a Muslim or a Catholic or an atheist? And they may hurl insults at you. And while you might disagree on how the Bible should be interpreted, yet do you love them? There should be a difference between us and those who have followed Muhammad. And let me tell you what the biggest difference should be. That we should be known as ones who love so much. If you were to measure it, you know, not this much, but just as much as possible. We should be loving them. Not that we should be saying, oh, well, your way is okay, you can get to heaven too. But that we should care about all of those things, their comfort, for their well-being. We should know when they have a financial setback and we should be there to help them. We should know when they are struggling and their health is not well, and bring them a cup of soup or whatever. I don't know what you do. When someone's sick and you come and you offer your best wishes and you try and help as much as you can. And if that means sitting by their side and listening to them rattle on for a while, do that. I don't care if they're from a different religion. You need to love them. Who knows? Maybe by you sitting there, you might win them, because they will see that you truly care about them. This is not to be done with an attitude of superiority. And I have to admit, this is probably my hardest thing to deal with in the whole aspect of loving. You think to yourself, okay, I've done my good deed and I've loved so-and-so, or I've shown kindness to this person or that person, and yet motivation was because I thought that's what was expected, or because I wanted someone to know that I loved them, and so that's why I did it. Not because I actually cared about them, but because I thought that's what I should do. It was selfish, a selfish desire. Or maybe it was looking down. You say, okay, I've got my great feast prepared at home, and so I'm going to take the crumbs and take that to my neighbor. And then I can feel superior to them because I have helped them out in their poverty. It's hard to love your neighbor. Because if you loved them like you loved yourself, you would invite them in to your own home. And you would sit down at that feast with them so that they could enjoy it with you. We should be charitable and do charitable things for other people. Charity is another word for love. But too often today, we rely upon organizations to do charity for us. This is not a new problem. Charles Spurgeon wrote about it, talked about it, how it used to be if someone wanted to benefit someone, they might take in an orphan to their own family and provide for that one orphan because they had the means to do so. But then came societies that they could donate money to that would do all the work for them. And so 10 families would give to support one orphan. And they would miss out on all the benefits, never seeing, the gleam of appreciation in the eyes of that little child who is accepted and loved. Never being there to actually hand that food out. And as Spurgeon said, it would be better if everyone, instead of giving to a soup kitchen, made some extra soup and took it to that one person who was in need themselves. More people would be fed because there's no overhead. It would be of more use. We need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Maybe our issue is not so much with our love being expressed in physical means, but rather the ability to humbly see other people as worthy and of more worth than us. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you can keep your finger there in Matthew, we will be back. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we read this verse, and it's a very interesting verse. I haven't heard it preached very much. And if I've heard it preached, I've heard the second half of it the most, because so many kings like to use this verse to preach that they should receive great honor. But this verse actually teaches the opposite. In verse 17, we read, "Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Because of our fear of God, we should honor all men. Even those who have failed over and over and over again, and they are sleeping on the streets, and the police are picking them up for the 100th time in cans, and you see them there, they are still worthy of honor. How hard is that to do? It's very hard. We think in ourselves, I'm better than that. but we're not. We're not better than that. We are just people like they are. And but for the grace of God, there we would sit. We need to honor them. That's a hard thing to do. Does that mean we praise them for their bad decisions? No. But it does mean that when we give them some food or some money, we do not throw it to them like you might throw to a dog that you dislike. But instead, we carefully present them the food in a way that a human might want to eat it. Or we invite them to come and sit next to us while they eat. And I know it might not be pleasant to sit next to them, yet we should do it out of love and honor them. Too many people take too much care for their animals and not enough care for people around them. And now we come closer to home. We've talked about neighbors all this time, but this verse in 1 Peter mentions love the brethren, or the brotherhood. We should be full of love for our family. How often have we fought with our brothers and sisters? I see Nathan here is a bit ashamed at the moment. I don't want to point him out too much here, but he reacted right away. He knew where we were going. Brothers and sisters often fight. There needs to be a great love for your brother, your sister, or for your spouse that is as much as you love yourself. How much time do you spend doing things for your own relaxation or for your own enjoyment? Maybe there's a show you like to watch or a game you like to play. Maybe there is some hobby that you have that's just for you, and it's just because you enjoy it. And how much time do you spend on that? And how much time do you make for those you should care about to do the same? Do you take them for granted at all? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a really hard saying. It's hard to do. I'm glad Jesus didn't go into great detail. I think all of us would have been kicked around. We've been kicked around enough already this evening. We would have been kicked around even more if Jesus had explained everything. Because just like his explanation of the sin of adultery and how he said that if you have looked on a woman to lust after her, that is adultery in your heart. If you have any lack of love towards your neighbor in your heart, if from neglect or from pride or from some other reason you lack love in your heart towards your neighbor, you have failed this commandment. How hard the hammer falls. We need to love God. And we need to love our neighbor. We cannot do one and ignore the other. We must do both. This is not a casual pastime, but our focused aim. It must be every day, and it's not going to come naturally. Because people are people, and none of us have love in our hearts. It's not natural for us to love one another. We must work at it. There are so many examples we could look at of ones who loved God, and so many examples in the Bible we could look at of those who loved their neighbor as themselves. And we'll just mention the Good Samaritan, and most of us here remember him, how he saw and then he acted. He loved that person enough, not just to remove them from the side of the road, not just to bind up their wounds, but to pay for them to be cared for until they could come back and do it themselves. They went the extra mile. So we must love one another. This is the great commandment. and it is impossible. We must have the Holy Spirit's help in order to accomplish this task. As we close this evening, I would just like to say one other thing. Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 in what he says about the Lord, loving the Lord being the greatest commandment. But Jesus is quoting himself when he says the second one. He is quoting himself. It is all throughout the book of Matthew, four times, that he points to this. And in the book of John, there's a couple of them as well, where he makes statements either identical or very close to, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, or they will know you are my disciples in that ye love one another. This is not a passing thing. This is central. This is the main deal. If you want to love God, you need to love one another. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you that you are a God of love, and that though we are weak and we are incapable of properly loving one another, that you are there to help, to guide, and to strengthen us. Father, we ask that you'd give us the boldness to love each other and to love our neighbors, even as we love ourselves. Lord, that each might know that they are cared for and that they might realize that you are the one who is enabling it. Father, we ask that this love might be shown abroad and that many might come to love you because of the love shown to them. In Jesus' precious name, amen.